Gracious Heavenly Father, I would ask for your assistance today to, in a special way, impact our hearts and our lives, to point to the precious gift that you offer through the Lord Jesus Christ, to be in awe of it and to enhance the worship of your saints, to be able to, in a fresh way, look at the glory of that gift and the cost of it, and to be in awe, to be in wonder, to marvel at your grace and mercy that you have extended to us. And I would ask that if there is anyone here today that has not yet accepted, received the gift that you have offered, that they will understand how wonderful that gift is, that they will understand their great need, and that they will understand that you are a holy and righteous God, and that your invitation will not last forever. That they will accept the gift, and that they will put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask it in your precious name. Amen. Well, have you heard it yet? Are you ready for Christmas? Have you heard that question? I am sure as you check out in the store, that's generally where I see it. I usually try to get the first punch in when I get up to the register to buy something. I always say to the cashier, I always say, are you going to make it through Christmas? And their general answer is, I hope so. I hope so. I want you to think about Christmas, and are you ready for it? You know, the reality is, as we go through Christmas, we have attached an awful lot of things to Christmas, and sometimes it's just the preparation for it that overwhelms us. Decking the halls and going to all the practices and going to the plays and the programs, and those are all wonderful, but they can zap us of worship and praise and adoration. They can actually zap us of our energy that should be directed Godward. And I've tried to be very careful because I'm not against any of those things. They're not necessarily wrong in and of themselves, but we dare not as Christians allow them to overrun us. And so I have asked for the last couple Sundays that you get ready for Christmas by doing several things. First, that you ponder the prophecies of Christ. That you think about the impact of 700 years before Christ, Isaiah is prophesying very specific things that would happen. Micah, 400 years before Christ, is prophesying very specific things that would happen. And to look into the New Testament and realize that those things were fulfilled to the very letter of what was written. Giving a great amount of authority to the Word of God, or a great amount of credibility to the Word of God. Such detailed things, such amazing things like the virgin birth, that would happen, and it did. It's fulfilled in the pages of Scripture. And mundane things like the babe would be wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger. Or that the child would be born in Bethlehem. And those things were fulfilled. Last week I asked you to ponder the person of Christ. All that he is, all that he came to do, all that he is prophesied to do, he fulfilled and is fulfilling. What a wonderful person the Lord Jesus Christ is. He is unique. He is true God and true man. And he has to be both. He has to be both. Today I would like you to ponder the presence of Christ. Now, you could understand that, and rightfully so, understand that we're talking about Christ as a present. He is a gift to us, isn't he? The person of Christ is a present. But I'm not talking about that gift specifically. I'm really talking about the gift, well, that is found commented on in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. And you say, well, good, the sermon's over, it's unspeakable. Whew, hallelujah. Well, let's talk a little bit about that. That's the King James Version. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. It's also in the ESV described as the inexpressible gift. If you can't, you don't have the words to explain it, it's inexpressible. The NIV and the NASB say the indescribable gift. And you say, well, good, the sermon's over still, because if you can't describe it, well, I actually like the New Living Translation, which says, too wonderful for words. Not a big fan of the New Living Translation, but that kind of puts it in perspective, isn't it? Doesn't it? The gift that is too wonderful for words, we can't begin to explain it. That's the idea. I want to ask you a question, and let's not make this a rhetorical question. I don't generally do this during the service. What's the best gift that you have ever received? And ixnay on the spiritual gifts. I mean, I don't want you to just say salvation. We all understand that, and we're going to talk a little bit about that today. But what's the best gift you've ever received in your life? Allison, your kiddo, children. I heard somebody else say children. I very frustratingly said last night, or early this morning, I guess it was, children are a blessing from the Lord. Those girls keep turning the heat up on me, and at 4 o'clock in the morning, I turn it down because it's burning me up at 4 o'clock in the morning. And then a little bit after that, Grace comes out, wandering out. She's not even awake. She wanders out and goes and turns up the heat in the kitchen and sits right in front of the heater. And I'm boiling. And that's when I said, children are a blessing from the Lord. Yes, they are. What's another gift that you've received? What's a wonderful gift you've ever received? Your husband. That's nice. That's nice to hear. How about a material thing? What is an object? You know, it's not unspiritual to say, thanks to the Lord for this, you know. Patty. A heifer. A heifer. Only a cattlewoman would say that. You know, as you think about this, is it something of great value? Sometimes the cost of it. I remember one year my dad gave my mom a diamond ring. He had never been able to afford a diamond ring for her. They had been married 20-some years before he bought this diamond ring. And so he bought this diamond ring, and it was totally out of character. My dad was very practical, but he wrapped it lots of times in wrapping paper, boxes smaller and smaller and smaller, to the point when we were all tired of my mom unwrapping stuff, and she was angry. And she got down to this little wad of wrapping paper, and she said to my dad, "Buddy, there better be something really good in here." And when she opened it up and saw a diamond ring, she started to cry. Started to cry. How about it? Is there something of great value that somebody gave you? Ah. So that not only was something of value, is something of sentimental value to you because your dad made it for yourself. Something you'd long for was the best gift. You know, sometimes anticipation of a gift is a wonderful thing. I've had gifts that I've given my daughter that they've asked for year after year after year. Give it to them and they're just like, you finally listened. Something handmade. That could be a wonderful gift. One of my most cherished gifts is something that my dad made for me and my wife. It's my bedroom set. Made out of oak pallets, laminated together, made boards. When I got word that my alarms were going fine, I was one Christmas up my mom's, after my dad had passed away, after my wife had passed away, I was up at my mom's for Christmas, and we got words that fire alarms were going off in our house. And I was a little upset, and the only thing I could think of was everything that meant something to me of Julie and my dad's bedroom set. Everything else can burn and I can replace it, but I can't replace those. And so, you know, those can be wonderful gifts. They can be the best gifts. One of the gifts I received that took my breath away was a van that was green. It was about the same year as that one, but it was green, about that long. One time, my dad had been pestering me that I needed to buy a new van, and I had told him I couldn't afford one and that the one we were driving was working fine. But he kept saying, no, it's you need to replace it, Scott. You need to replace it, Scott. And I kept telling him, Dad, I don't have the money, and God's keeping this one running, so just back off. So finally, we picked up the girls one time. They had gone and visited Grandma and Grandpa, and we picked them up in La Grande, Oregon. And my dad said, I want you to look at something. He had been talking about this specific van. It was parked out in the McDonald's parking lot, and he had me come out and look at it, and I was mad. I said, Dad, I can't afford it. You don't understand. You've brought it to look. It's nice. Well, you like it? Yeah, I like it, but I can't afford it. So please. And he said, well, it's yours. I said, what do you mean it's yours? I bought it for you. And my dad said, for the first time in Scott's life, I shut him up. Because I couldn't respond. How do you respond to that? You know, it was a wonderful gift. It met a need. And it was such a wonderful thing. For some of you, it might be one of these, a Bugatti Veyron. How many of you own a Bugatti Veyron? I want to talk to you about your giving. $2,500,000 off the assembly line. I would be afraid to drive one of those, but if somebody gave you that, it would take your breath away, wouldn't it? I mean to tell you, can you imagine somebody giving you a Bugatti of any kind? I can see that, you know, you can imagine owning one of those. You can kind of drool over one of those. But if somebody just walked up, Bryce, and gave you a Bugatti, that would be a wonderful, wonderful gift. You would be speechless, right? You would be in awe of their generosity, and you would be in the poorhouse because you couldn't afford the insurance on the car. It's not that the gift can't be described. When Paul talked about to the Corinthians about thanks be to God for this indescribable gift, it's not that it can't be described. In fact, you know, even those Bugattis, as breathtaking as though that might be as a gift, I assure you that those who are selling them describe them all the time. They advertise and they not in papers that I read or anything, but I got this. The standard Bugatti Veyron 16.4 coupe has a cost of around $2.5 million and can reach the top speed of 235 miles per hour. Whoo, could I do some calling? And it can maintain that speed for about 12 minutes before it empties the gas tank. So when Paul writes, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift or his inexpressible gift or his indescribable gift. He is not saying that the Word of God doesn't have stuff to say about this gift, because I assure you that the Word of God has a lot to say about the gift of eternal life and how wonderful it is. But it is beyond our comprehension. Sometimes I think when we get saved, when we accept what Jesus Christ did for us, we begin to become complacent as we look and read through Scripture and as we hear, oh, I've heard that before. But I want you to stop and really think about some verses this morning that describe how wonderful this gift that we have offered to us. The indescribable gift is the gift of eternal life. And is a gift so wonderful that we have a hard time fully comprehending it. The Bible gives us a lot of descriptions of this gift. We just struggle to comprehend it and express it. First of all, we all understand that it's a gift. By definition, a gift doesn't cost you anything. If somebody gave Bryce the Bugatti, Bryce couldn't have afforded the Bugatti. Bryce didn't pay anything to get the Bugatti. Somebody just gives him the Bugatti. The gift of eternal life is that way. It cost us nothing. It is a free gift. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. Stop right there. We're talking about the gift of God. And it is eternal life, and it's free to you, but it's very expensive. Do you notice? Saved through faith, and that not of yourself. The ability to even believe isn't from you. Think about that for a moment. You have been saved. If you have been able to accept what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross, the ability to even believe was a gift given to you by God so that you would believe. Faith is the ability to believe. It is putting our trust. It is accepting what by faith we accept something without seeing it. And that ability is a gift from God. You didn't do anything. It's not of works, not as a result of works, not of anything that we have done. Baptism, that's something we do. We get in the tank, we get dunked. Doesn't save us. It is accepting what Jesus Christ did for us that saves us. You can't be good enough. You can't attend church good long enough. You can't give enough money. You can't. None of it. As important as all of those things are, none of those things save us. The law didn't save the Jews. Never intended to. It pointed out our need. That's what it was intended to do, to teach us of our need. So it's a wonderful thing to realize that this wonderful gift that is so hard to describe comes to us free. It is an offering as a gift. And yet it was the most expensive gift ever purchased. You think about that Bugatti for a moment. $2.5 million. Now, I understand that people will kill people for any amount of money. But you as a parent, think for a moment about your child, or you think about somebody that you love and care about. Would you take $2.5 million for your children? I know some days you wouldn't give $5 for them, I know. But really, you understand the value of human life is so great. Your children, the value of your children is so great. The love that I have for my children, I cannot explain. And it's even sometimes when they make me really mad. My grandson hasn't made me really mad yet, so he's working on it. But we love people, and there is, God's word puts a high price, a value, high value on human life. And yet, the word of God tells us in one of the most common passages known by people, out of John 3:16, that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, His one-of-a-kind Son. That's what that word begotten means. That whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Jesus Christ died in your place to pay sin's penalty. God sent Him to do that. Can you imagine sending your child to die in someone else's place? That would be a pretty high price to pay, wouldn't it? In fact, it's the highest price to pay. And God did that out of love and out of our need. He sent the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ came. He paid that price. It was the most expensive gift ever purchased. It is a gift that resolves the conflict and meets a need. How many of you have ever had all clothes for Christmas anytime in your life? Because you needed clothes, you needed socks, you needed, as my dad would call them, barely mentionables. You needed pants because you'd outgrown them. You needed shirts, and that's what you got for Christmas because money was tight. You didn't get any toys. Sometimes what we need and what we want are very far apart. The gift that we're talking about of eternal life is something that we needed, and it resolved a conflict between God and man. Listen to Romans chapter 5, verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. The idea of reconciliation is restoring a right relationship between you and God. Reconciled. You've heard of irreconcilable differences. Well, our differences with God, we are enemies with God unless we are reconciled to Him through the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians put it this way, Paul wrote it to the Ephesians this way, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were far off and are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ's payment of His blood brought you near to God, provided a way for you to have a relationship with God. It is a gift. This wonderful, indescribable gift is a gift that gives us access to the throne. Think about this for the very moment. When Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for sin's penalty, at the very moment He did that, at the very moment He died, the curtain was torn in the temple from top to bottom. Think about that. From top to bottom. No man reached up there and tore it. God Himself tore it and opened the avenue for us to have access to the Lord, to Him through the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:18 says this, for through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Think about that. How wonderful that is. You no longer need a priest. You no longer need to come to me and confess your sins or do anything through me. That puts the whole ballywick on pastors, doesn't it? You have the ability to go as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, to go to the Word of God through and to be instructed and taught through the Holy Spirit of God. That's not minimizing your need to be here. That's not minimizing preaching at all. It's just highlighting the fact that in this glorious gift, we have access to the Father. Each and every believer does. It's a wonderful gift. It is a gift which gives us a new family. You sing that song, "I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Joint heirs with Jesus, washed in His blood." Galatians says this in Galatians 4, "To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." God set this plan of salvation into motion so that we could be adopted into His family. I love this story. I heard this little boy had been adopted into a family. And in that family were biological children who sometimes like to rub it into their face into the adopted kid's face that they were biological and the adopted kid was, well, adopted. Until the adopted child got old enough to understand the concept, and one day his older siblings who were biological were pushing him and, you know, ridiculing him about being adopted, and he finally turned to his siblings and he said, "Yeah, you were born into this family. That means that mom and dad just had to take you, but they chose me. They had to take you, but they chose me." And that's the concept when the Bible talks about adoption of sons. God chose those who would be in His family. He adopted us in. So we get this new family. It also says in Ephesians 1:5, "Having predestined us unto the adoption of the children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will." You know, some of us wrestle. I will admit, I even this last week have been wrestling with the concept of the sovereignty of God. God's in control. Now, I don't argue that, but if I think I could push your mind if I wanted to. I could sit here and push your mind and challenge your mind on thinking about the sovereignty of God and the implications of that, that God is in control of everything. But all I'll point out here at this point is that God does what God wants to do. And He could do that and it not be wrong because He's God. He gets to choose. And the very fact that the sovereign God of the universe would reach down and choose any of us is an amazing, amazing act and demonstration of God's grace. This indescribable gift, this gift that we have trouble defining, John says it this way, that gives us a new family. John says it this way, "But as many as receive Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." We don't have that power in and of ourselves, but God can do that in us and through us. This is a gift that gives us, because we're children of God, gives us an inheritance. Now, think about this for a moment. When we talk about an inheritance, we think of somebody dying and us getting something. A memory, finances, stocks and bonds, their assets. They don't need it anymore. And it's kind of bittersweet, isn't it? If you love the person, you would rather have the person back. But sometimes we get stuff that in an inheritance that is a memory of the person. Well, the Word of God talks about us being heirs It says this. Well, I don't know where that verse is. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Think about that for a moment. Anything that you can inherit in this life will someday have no value. You get gold, it will tarnish, things will happen, somebody may come in, steal it from you. You get stocks and bonds, and you live it up, and you spend them all, you cash them all in and live it up, and they're gone. You get some Ming vase from the dynasty in China. That's your inheritance, and your grandchild walks through and knocks it off the shelf. Crash. But the inheritance that we have in Jesus Christ, the Word of God tells us in 1 Peter, that it is not corruptible, it can't be defiled, it doesn't fade away, it keeps on shining, it is, after all, eternal. What a wonderful gift. What a wonderful gift. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it talks about the fact that we are not citizens. We sing that song, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through." You know, many of us as Christians put down a lot, too many roots in this world. Ephesians tells us this: "Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." We have a heavenly citizenship. We are not of this world. We are passing through. Quite frankly, this is a wonderful gift. It makes us new. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this: "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." I want you to think, you know, you're not maybe where you want to be spiritually, but I want you to think back. If you're a Christian, think back before you were a Christian. You may not be where you want to be spiritually, but are you where you were? Well, no. If nothing else has changed, your position has changed. But as if we are true followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, that process of sanctification begins to happen in our lives. We grow in grace and knowledge. That's the prayer, right? We grow in grace and knowledge. I want to point out that this gift is eternal. Now, we've kind of alluded to that, but I want to hit on this for just a moment a little harder, because you and I don't have a concept of eternity, do we? We can say, yeah, it lasts forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And how long is that? Well, we don't know. We've never experienced that. Everything that surrounds us, everything that we know has a shelf life. You know, it's stamped with a label. If you go back into the benevolence refrigerator and you get milk, you will notice that the best if used by date has already passed. It's good for about 2 weeks beyond that best if used by date, and then one morning you're going to open it up and you're going to pour that milk on your cereal and you're going to go boom. It expires. Your lifetime has a beginning and an end. My lifetime has a beginning and an end. There are oftentimes things that we go through that are heavy and hard for us to handle, and we encourage ourselves with the idea, the biblical verse, and this too shall pass. You're in school. The heavy load. You're overburdened, overworked. I got through Cedarville University reminding myself, this too shall pass. You have strong mental capacity. You're strong physically. Don't worry, that'll pass too. Your very life has a limit. But not this gift. If you accept eternal life, it is eternal. It says in John 10:28, and I give unto them what? Eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I love that verse. Don't you love that verse? I can't even begin to understand eternity. Some of my children have tried to think on the subject of eternity. One of my daughters came to me one time and said, Dad, I know we're going to praise God for eternity. I know that's what we're going to do, but I can't wrap my head around that. It seems like it might be kind of boring. It seems like we get tired of doing this. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. In her mind, I think, you know, that song we sing with the kids, praise ye the Lord, hallelujah, and we sing praise ye the Lord, they stand up, and they sing hallelujah, 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 they stand up, praise ye the Lord, hallelujah. And she had in her mind, I don't know, I think she had in her mind that we were going to be doing that song for all of eternity, and we were going to bounce up and down. You know, the wonderful truth is, this gift of God lasts for eternity. It will not fade away. I want to point out something else from this verse. Same verse, John 10:28. It is a gift which is secure. If you have truly put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, what does it say? Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. If you are in Christ, you are in Christ. You can die physically, but they can't separate you from God. Paul asked that question, what can separate us from the love of God? And his answer was, nothing. Nothing can separate us. It is eternal. We are secure. No man can pluck them out of my hand. You're secure. If you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you've accepted the gift of eternal life. You have focused and understood that Jesus died in your place, paid sin's penalty. You're secure. This gift has peace involved with it. The peace of God which passes all understanding and keeps our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Jesus is referred to as the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. Can you imagine? This world is not at peace. But because of eternal life, we can be at peace. It is a gift which guarantees us a place. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. John 14:2. It guarantees us a place and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:6. Think about that for a moment. If you are in Christ, you've accepted his free gift. You have a seat at the table. You have a place. It's a gift which guarantees us the Holy Spirit of God taking up residence in our life. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, which is in you which you have of God, and you are not your own. It is a gift which gives us a capacity to overcome sinful behavior. I know you might find that hard to believe, but the Word of God says it. Likewise, reckon or account yourselves also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. It gives us that power. And this is a gift which promises us future glory. John 1 John 3:2 says this, "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But if we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him," what? "For we shall see him as he is." Our bodies, our thoughts, our intents, our drives will change. We will be like him because of this gift. It is a gift that promises a future position. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. We're going to be priests and rulers reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ because of this gift. Well, think about that Bugatti one more time. A Bugatti cannot compare with the gift of eternal life. Not at all. I hope today that you have been challenged to think about this gift. There are many more verses which talk about this gift. There are many more verses which talk about the glorious gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's indescribable because we can't even begin to fathom how great it is. Let me just, as you turn in your hymn books, let's go to 125. As you turn there, let me just challenge you with this thought. If you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and you have already accepted this gift, you have so very much. You are so blessed and you are so rich. And I hope you've begun to have that imprinted on your mind as you think and ponder this gift of eternal life. That gift comes with some responsibilities. That gift comes to enable us to live and for him, and we should want to live for him because he's done so much for us. If you are here and you have never accepted the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, it is offered to you. And I will just say this, how foolish it would be for you not to receive that gift. It would be like a child having a pile of toys underneath a tree and saying, "Nah, I don't think so." In fact, it would be worse than that.